Hey, this is Ash with Horror Fix, and we are on tonight with Jesse Blanchard. Jesse is the director and writer of what I thought was a fantastic Kickstarter puppet horror film called Frank and Zed. And I've been in contact with Jesse for a while because I really wanted to promote the project because, well, first of all, it looks great. Absolutely loved the trailer. I loved everything about the Kickstarter project that I saw. The overall production design of the project I thought was top-notch. And it just looks like a whole hell of a lot of fun. So I'm here with Jesse tonight, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he's doing. And we're also going to talk about a giveaway that they're going to give to us to give away to you, the listeners / readers for Frank and Zed. So how are you doing tonight, Jesse?
Great. Doing really good.
Now, where are you speaking to us from?
I am speaking to you from Portland, Oregon.
Ooh, Portland.
Yeah.
Do you have like a hipster drinking game there? Where like you just look at the sidewalk and you count how many hipsters go by, and then like one's a shot, one's a double shot.
It's pretty ridiculous. I was eating a bell pepper the other night, and my wife was getting mad at me, you know, saying that I look like a hipster. And I was like, for the love of God, just let me eat something. It's just handy, okay? I'm not trying to be cool.
You'll see, that's the climate now, is that you can't even eat a bell pepper without, unfortunately, being called a hipster in Portland.
Yeah, it's tough. I think I'm finally aging out, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. Can you age out of being a hipster? I don't know. We'll see.
I think you can. I think you can. Now of course, now we're going to get extremely personal. How old are you, Jesse?
I'm 34. Going to be 35 soon.
Okay, well, you can totally age out, because I'm 39, and I'm starting to age out of the being relevant phase, where, like, I can go anywhere now and start to talk, and people are just like, he has no idea what's going on in the world around him at all. He's almost 40, for God's sakes. So, yeah, I think you can age out of it, but unfortunately, like I said, then you start aging out of actually being relevant at all, and that's the problem. So you'll just have to lie about your age.
I'll take it.
So, like I said in the introduction, we took a look at the project and we thought it was awesome. And I'm actually a huge fan of the Muppets anyways. Like, I'm a huge fan of just puppets in general. I just come from that generation where, like, and this is what's strange. I come from the generation where, like, all that's innocent and pure is puppets. You know, so whenever I think of the Muppets, I think of, like, the best parts of my childhood, you know, like actually watching the Muppet Show when it was airing live, and, you know, actually watching it like with your parents, because they would watch it for the guest stars, you know. I mean, and not that I'm saying my parents are big fans of like Jim Croce or anything, you know, but it was like, I remember like the Jim Croce episode, and, you know, they did that really haunting Time in a Bottle sequence, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was an event sort of thing. So for me, whenever I see something like, you know, with puppets, and especially something that's genre related with puppets, it's like, wow, this is crazy and this is interesting. You don't see it that often. So I guess if you can, give us a bit of a background. Like, are you a horror fan who likes puppets? Are you a puppeteer who likes horror? Or are you just a guy that had a bunch of felt laying around and then things just happened?
It's really desperation, honestly. It was, I made films for a long time, and on one of my last films, basically you kill yourself to get everything in front of the camera, right? You write and you do all this stuff as much as you can, and then when you go to film, with at least with actors, my experience is you have very little control and very little time. And so I was working on this monster movie, or writing the script, and I was like, you know what, I know the creature is going to be a puppet, and that's kind of the industry term, right, for, you know, for like Jaws, you know, the shark, he was a puppet. And
right.
And yeah, the xenomorphs and, you know, Alien and Aliens, etc. So I just took a little leap and I said, you know what? What if everyone was a puppet? And that was like a very exciting and kind of scary and just potentially ridiculous thought. I said, all right, what am I gonna
do? And sort of existentialist at the same time. What if everyone was a puppet?
Yeah, exactly.
What if we're all puppets?
What if I'm, just ask the Bernie Sanders crowd and I'm sure they'll agree. So I said, all right, I'm going to do a little test short with puppets. I'm going to try and I've always wanted to do a barbershop horror film. And so I was like, all right, this will work for puppets. So I did that. And long story short, I had a lot of fun. And it just kind of stuck. And then all of these other advantages that I never thought about popped up as far as working with puppets. And so I just kind of stuck with it for a little bit.
Now, did you find it an easier process working with puppets? I mean, I've, you know, talked to some filmmakers, and I've read some interviews of filmmakers who went from, you know, the idea of traditionally making a film with actors, and they've gone to making it with, you know, puppets or even animation or CG, and they thought this transition was going to be such a great thing. It's like, well, we don't have to deal with actors anymore, only doing voiceovers, and then they find it's like, oh my God, this is like a technical nightmare. Like, how was the transition for you?
It's tough. I mean, it's like you can do anything you want, right? But every single shot is a special effect. I mean, getting somebody to pick something up is like a special effect, you know? So there's a lot of freedom, but you pay for it. What I like, though, again, is it all just goes to control. And the other thing I like is that I can have so many different people play the same character. And so it really gives me a big advantage just in keeping the project moving forward. So it's, I mean, there's trade-offs to everything. I mean, we also average, I think, 30 takes for every single shot. So, which, I don't know, it gets a little ridiculous, but.
I would think, yeah.
It's totally, so yeah, I mean, it's, but we've also gotten better. I think it's like anything. I think you look at something like puppets and you're like, oh man, it's so easy. You know, which is, of course, how I naively would look at, like, I don't know, ice skating or something. Man, ice skating looks easy, but you put a pair of skates on me, I'm going to fall on my butt. And I think,
right, yeah,
puppeteering, it's the same way. It's like, if you don't want to do it as a joke, if you're like, you know, and that's how I'm trying to do it, I really want to scare people, if at all possible, with puppets. And right. It's hard. It's hard to make the felt scary. You know, how do you do that?
But, you know, I think there's something to the quality of it being what we consider an inanimate object taking on human characteristics and a personality that is sometimes just, or is, you know, is scary by nature, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think, well, it's part of, I mean, I think anyone who likes horror wants to believe, right? You want,
oh, yeah.
Nobody wants a horror film where at the end you realize it was all, you know, that the wizard is a fake. You want it.
That's the Scooby-Doo ending, yeah.
Nobody wants that, right? It's like I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about basically that all the old Victorian ghost stories are people getting carbon monoxide poisoning. And it was such a bummer. I was like, what a bummer. It's like such a buzzkill. And so with puppets, it's kind of the same thing. It's like you want Kermit to be alive, desperately. You never want to see Kermit not alive. That's so lame. And so, yeah. And if that thing that's alive is kind of coming at you with a knife, it becomes much creepier.
You know, and you get the idea too that like Kermit would never alienate you. Yes. You know, Kermit's never going to kick your ass on the playground. Like Kermit will be there to pick you up. Uh-huh. So there's always this idea that some of the puppets are sort of superhuman. They don't have these human flaws. Their characteristics that are human are the best characteristics. Uh-huh. But obviously, in your film, they get the worst characteristics as well.
Yeah, they get to... I mean, one of the things that's been fun, and the Muppets are great... I mean, obviously, they're a big inspiration. And what I love about the Muppets is they're so distinct. You know, there's big ones and small ones, and there's the funny ones. And that's definitely something that I've tried to do. Say, like, hey, let's make all these characters different. And in fact... I don't know his name, but there's a huge Muppet. He's like brown, and he's like a full guy in a suit, and he looks kind of like he's covered in brown fur. Oh man!
Oh, and he always gets left behind. Like he's always chasing after a car,
yeah.
Or he's chasing after the bus with you know the band in it. Yeah, that guy. Okay.
And so in our film, I was like, we got to do that character. And so ours is a big brute, doesn't really look like him. But I was like, we've got to have that big kind of hulking guy, just like they have in the Muppets. It's been, yeah, it's fun. It's like, hey, how can we... I mean, and I think that's the other thing that animation gives you, is that you can make the characters any way you want. So it gives you leeway to really stretch things out and not, you know, as far as scale and you know, just how big they are and all the textures, et cetera, you can kind of paint this really rich picture, which is, again, something the Muppets just do so well.
Well, for a minute, let's assume that most of my readers are extremely lazy. And not that I'm saying that they are, but my readers are extremely lazy. So let's give them an idea first of exactly what they can expect. So if they haven't seen the trailer and they're just listening to this interview, give us a little bit of an idea of exactly what Frankenzed is.
So the way we talk about it is basically, imagine if the Gremlins, you know, showed up at Sesame Street. That's kind of what we're going for. So you have these two traditional monsters, which are Frank and Zed, and they depend on each other for survival. They've kind of lived this way, this kind of symbiotic relationship for a real long time, and there's been this kind of unspoken truce between this huge village that surrounds these two. And the village, all of those guys are kind of your traditional felt puppets. And basically, one day, the shit hits the fan, and Frank and Zed, which are our two kind of monster-y puppets, right, they go to war, or the village, I should say, goes to war with the two monsters. And essentially, you just, I mean, Frank and Zed should have absolutely no chance. They should be just completely decimated by these guys. But being monsters, they've kind of got a few tricks up their sleeves, and so, you know, all hell breaks out. And that's a bit of the story. We get to meet these guys, and get to see kind of all that, the puppet gore mayhem. And then as far as what we're trying to do is, you know, a puppet monster movie is a premise that we're really dying to live up to. That's the idea. It's like, how can we live up to this premise, which we just love. And so we're trying to kind of have all this take place in a world that we've tried to detail out as much as something like The Dark Crystal has been an inspiration for kind of how rich the world is. And right. We're taking kind of the splatstick directors that we love, like Sam Raimi, for instance, early Peter Jackson, and basically saying, I mean, Peter Jackson obviously did it a lot with Meet the Feebles, and say like, okay, what kind of gore can we deliver if our characters are puppets? And the answer, of course, is a lot. And so we're saying, how far can we push kind of the craziness and the action? But at the same time, all the time, to us, the characters are real. And so it's not a joke that they're puppets. They just kind of, they're all these crazy characters that just happen to be puppets. So it's not very concise, but that's maybe what you can expect.
Well, you know, you got the right keywords in there. You did mention gore, which obviously is going to be something that the readers are looking out for. So are you pulling any punches with this, or are we going to get a lot of the red stuff in there?
Oh, you're going to get a lot. Absolutely a lot. I mean, even in the trailer, there wasn't nearly as much as needs to be in there. But for instance, so, you know, we're doing this Kickstarter campaign. And so our first stretch goal, we've got a fire-breathing puppet in the trailer. I was really excited. I was like, we're going to make a puppet breathe fire. I want to do that. And right. Then, so we got that. It's like, all right, check. We've got the puppet breathing fire. Now we're like, okay, basically what happens in the film is half, you know, the villagers go attack Frank and Zed. The villagers are winning, but Zed bites a couple. And then, of course, the ones he bites, they rise as zombies, and there's just this massive kind of three-way battle. So I was like, all right, our drunk villager zombie, he needs to get bit, become a zombie. His guts get ripped out, and they're drenched in alcohol, of course. So they're on fire and kind of just getting strung about the place as these intestines, which are kind of soaked in booze, light up and wrap around other people as the zombies attacking him. So that's just like one of the ideas where we're saying we got to start here and we got to push even further.
Well, I think that pitch alone is good enough. I think someone disemboweled and the intestines are on fire, all done with puppets. I'm sold.
Good.
I'm sold already.
Good. It's definitely, we always say, how can we push it further? How can we push it further? And it's amazing. You push it like that far, and it just, even that feels tame as soon as you do it. You know, you kind of just keep moving the bar. So, yeah, that's absolutely the goal. A lot of gore, definitely.
Now, we wanted to take a minute as well and talk about the fact that we've been in contact, and, you know, I had explained how much, you know, that I really wanted to sort of put, you know, at least my community behind the film, because I think it's a great project. And we have something to give away, something that you had mentioned, and I'm really, really, really excited about this. And I'm also letting you know that none of my friends can enter the contest. I'm sorry. It's like every single time, it's, why don't you just drop all of the prizes off at my house? And it's like, it doesn't really work that way, because that's basically just saying that my friends are part of a huge charity that I just give shit to all the time. And there's no name for that charity. It's actually just called freeloading. So my freeloading friends are not going to get this. But for the good people who actually come onto my site and get the free stuff that deserve it, what are we talking about? What is this giveaway? Because this is pretty fantastic. Like, I'm extremely excited about this. So give the readers a little bit of an idea of what they could possibly win in the giveaway that we're going to do.
Okay, so imagine, so your readers probably know who Krampus is. You know, he's the cool Santa Claus, basically. So
right,
we wanted our villagers, kind of in the name of making things cooler, we're like, you know, instead of just giving them regular pitchforks, you know, and torches, let's give them some sweet weapons. So the villagers worship this cult of Krampus, and they have these kind of holy weapons that they'll, you know, they'll of course reveal in a montage. And the biggest, baddest weapon is this huge axe. And this battle axe, which is really, it's big for a human. It's pretty massive. It's a big kind of broad battle axe that's adorned with this huge Krampus face with a big forked tongue that comes down the wooden handle and some ears and some big horns. This is all hand sculpted by us and hand cast and molded and painted. So it's really beautiful. One of the things that we're doing in the film is saying, like, okay, we're going to, you know, the puppets are felt and the monsters are silicone. Everything else in the world is just as real and gnarly as possible. And that's definitely what we've tried to do with this axe, is just make this big, huge, gnarly axe. And it's really beautiful. I love it.
Well, the pictures that I've seen, this thing is gorgeous. I can't wait for somebody to get it. Actually, I couldn't wait for me to get it, but I'm actually going to give it to someone. So I can't wait for whoever gets it, who is going to get it. I'm sure they're going to love it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the details of the contest after the interview. We'll put this in a post, and they can see exactly how they can go about winning this thing. And what we want to do, obviously, is drive traffic back to you guys. So we're going to do it in a way where they're coming to watch the trailer, they're commenting, etc. So we're going to get something so that people are seeing exactly what, you know, they're going to be able to win, and that's going to get some nice traffic for you, and obviously it's going to get somebody a pretty fantastic prop. Now, since this is Halloween Eve, which is pretty awesome that we're doing the interview on Halloween Eve, so as far as Halloween goes, let's go ahead and we'll just digress, and we will talk just about horror, our love of horror, for a moment. So what is your favorite horror film? I know that's the most cliche-ass question, but since it's Halloween, we'll revel in the cliches.
So, favorite is, of course, tough. A horror film, I don't know, the one that springs to mind is Drag Me to Hell. I think...
Great movie, yeah, great film.
You know, it's relatively recent, so, oh, okay, you can't, you know, but there's many things I love about it. I mean, what Sam Raimi does with the camera, I love. The fact that he came back and did that film after doing, you know, a bunch of big Spider-Mans and all that other kind of stuff, I love. It just pushes and pushes and pushes. So that's, I mean, that's a horror film that I just think delivers. I mean, the fight scene with the witch in the car.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. You know,
and then everything stops. You just get that running bass line. Like, everything about that scene was just pitch perfect.
Yeah, it's just... it's really kind of manic, crazy filmmaking. And I guess there's a part of me that loves... I just love the fact that Sam Raimi went back and did it. You know, that it was... You know, I mean, he could do kind of anything he wants. And he decided, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to do Drag Me to Hell. This script that I wrote, I don't know, 15 years ago with my brother. So
right,
that one comes to mind as one of my favorites.
Well, I will say, we were lucky enough to see an advanced screening of the first episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead. So, yeah, we are to be envied. We are definitely to be envied here. And, you know, I can say, first of all, you know, Raimi directs the first episode, which is just utterly fantastic. So not only do we get to see the reprisal of this character that we've been waiting for such a long time, but we get to see it again through Raimi's vision, and you're going to love it. You're just going to absolutely love the first episode. It is everything that we've been waiting for.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to, you know, just send me an email and just we'll gush about it together. So where can people go to watch the trailer? Where can they go, obviously, to contribute to the Kickstarter campaign? Let's talk about the Kickstarter campaign and the access for a moment.
So going to Kickstarter and searching for Franken's Ed should pull it up. We also have kind of our brand of horror films we call Puppet Core. And going to puppetcore.com, you can see the Barbershop horror piece that I mentioned, as mm-hmm. well as another little puppet horror film. So you can kind of see some of the early stuff we've done. And so those are, you know, and of course the Facebook, right? All of those places, you know, that's kind of, those are the easy places to click through.
Now, what is the expected goal? And what exactly is that goal giving you as a filmmaker? Because a lot of people always want to know, where's their wallet going? You know, where is this money going? So when people are contributing, what are they contributing towards?
So we've shot... So first of all, I want people to check out the trailer. The trailer's, you know, 2.5 minutes long. And we did all that. You know, I paid for everything to really say, like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do. I'm not just pitching an idea, but here's exactly where we're going to go. The funds, we're asking for $15,000. The funds are just going to give us the ability to work for 2 months to finish the film. And most of that is going to finance a space. So we filmed the entire trailer in a tiny little 380 square foot studio. And we're losing that studio actually tomorrow. But right about the time that this airs, I won't have access to that space anymore. So the funds are really going to give us space and allow me and two other people to work full-time on the project. I'll still have a crew of probably 15 to 20 people donating all their time. So it's going to be a skeleton crew. But, I mean, I think if people see the trailer, we're going to deliver something big, something very, very big. That's one of the goals.
Now, currently, what are some of the perks available for people who want to contribute to the campaign?
So my favorite one, so there's lots of fun stuff. You can get props, you can get some of the weapons. One of my favorites is that we'll actually get you in the film as a puppet. You can even, we've got somebody who's lined up to do this now, but you can even kind of shape how your puppet dies. And so you can, it's like.
Now that's a lot of fun. I mean, that is a lot of fun.
Really cool. I mean, you can also do it for a friend. And then, of course, so. If you want, you can take it as far as, like, we'll actually work with you to figure out exactly the method of the puppet death.
Well, that could be cathartic on so many different levels.
Well, you could do, we've said a friend or an enemy.
I'll send you some pictures of my ex-wife, and if you just want to make a puppet of her and kill her.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, kill the puppet. I'm not going to incriminate myself here, but.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's definitely one of my favorites. I mean, we've made what I call the cereal toy you always deserved. So basically these little minis of Franken's Eds that are kind of cereal toy style, but they're much bigger. They're 4 inches tall, super detailed.
Nice.
Yeah, just, you know, and the shirts and the kind of typical stuff. But getting people involved in the film is what I'm most excited about. That's the part where I'm like, I think this reward is hopefully really cool for people.
You know, what I think is great, especially where we're at with culture right now, talking about... you know, the toys and, you know, the ultimate cereal toys and stuff. I think we're in a great place right now with horror where you can go into a Toys R Us and get, like, a Jason Voorhees action figure. I mean, like, we are in such a great place as opposed to where we were at, like, in the, you know, when I was a kid growing up, it was like, just forget it. I wasn't going to get anything that I really, really wanted. I'm like, why isn't there a Freddy Krueger action figure? My father's like, because he's a child molester. That's why. You know, and then 15 years later, it's like, look, a whole roll of child molester figures. You know, not that I'm promoting that, mind you. But still, it's like the fact that... You know, we're at a point where we could get Saw figures at a Toys R Us. I mean, everything is so accessible now. And I think we're looking at icons differently, and I think that we really haven't accessed the that genre spanning idea of why don't we have more horror films that are animated? Why don't we have more horror films that have puppets, for example? So when you said the term puppet core, which instantly makes me think that it's a German site, by the way, which might get you some really high numbers in traffic. But I just like the fact that that's the subgenre that you're creating, puppet core. I mean, I think that's a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Frankenzed is just one story of many that we want to tell. Many, many, you know, all these different horror films. And yeah, it's weird. I mean, the puppet, I think maybe it's just that the Muppets and Sesame Street were so successful, that's just what we associate with puppets. But you can do a lot. You know, you can do a lot. And there is this weird, it's just weirdly fun. I don't know when it works. I mean, when it fails, God, it fails so bad. It just fails. Like, not in a fantastic, great way at all, just in this really desperately terrible way. It's cool. I mean, it's cool.
Well, now I want to see the outtakes, like, more so than anything else, because I want to see the horrible, horrible failures.
Well, oh, God. I mean...
And like you want someone to say that, like you wanted me in the interview to go, all I really want to see are your failures, Jesse.
I mean, what's, I think, especially pathetic in the outtakes is just my voice, and you can just hear my sorrow. I mean, like, we have a shot where, you know, Zed, I was like, I want Zed to pick and eat his own brain. I don't know how I haven't seen a zombie pick and eat his own brain, but I got to see it. And getting a puppet to pick and eat his own brain is just an exercise in absolute futility. It's just madness. It's complete madness. But we, I mean, we got it. I think that was 35 takes. Oh, that's my daughter. Well, hi, gorgeous.
And how old is your daughter?
She's going to be one in just 2 weeks.
Ooh. Yeah. We have a 3-year-old that usually is running around here. Yeah, he's with his mom tonight. So they're out doing the trick or treat thing, and but we usually have him over there the weekend, and he's a huge dinosaur fan. So everything right now is dinosaurs, dinosaurs, dinosaurs.
That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me any, and I'm like, wow, the old man's going to be cool for at least a couple more years, and then I'm going to be tragically unhip for a very, very long time. So I think people obviously are going to see something that they haven't really seen before, something new, something fresh, and obviously something gory and drenched in puppet blood. And I just like the phrase drenched in puppet blood. I just think that's an awesome thing. So we obviously are encouraging everyone to go to the Kickstarter project site to take a look at all the perks you have to offer. I think the idea of like the cereal box toys is a pretty awesome thing as well. Do you have a few minutes off the air for me, Jesse?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And like I said, everyone should get on Kickstarter. They should obviously search for Frankenzed, take a look at the perks, take a look at the trailer, and stay tuned because we are going to be giving away that fantastic battle axe, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And hopefully maybe we can get your involvement, too, in the giveaway. If you'd like that, Jesse, you could maybe have us think of something interesting for the fans to do.
That sounds great.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great night, and we'll talk in just a moment.